All right, Madam Chair, I believe we are ready to go.
The Piscataway Township Planning Board meeting will please come to order. Open public notice. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News. Notice published posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building. Notice made available to the township clerk. Notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Can we read the Department of Community Affairs guidelines, Mr. Barlow?
Certainly, Madam Chair. This meeting is being held virtually in conformance with the Department of Community Affairs guidelines that were promulgated at the beginning of the pandemic. The notices have indicated the appropriate Zoom information, so any member of the public wishing to log in can do so. I believe the board has complied with the DCA requirements and it's appropriate for the meeting to go forward, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mayor Waller?
Present.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Here.
Ms. Corcoran?
Here.
Ms. Saunders? Ms. Saunders is here.
Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you. Ms. Saunders?
Okay, I'm here.
Thank you. Reverend Keddy?
Here.
Mr. Espinoza, I don't believe is here. Nope. Mr. Foster?
Here.
And Madam Chair?
Here. You can see the flag over my shoulder. Can we all recite the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance, to the flag.
Right.
Of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all. Will everyone be voting tonight, Ms. Buckley?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yes, Madam Chair, everybody will be voting tonight.
And can we swear in the professionals, please?
Can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth? State your name for the record, please.
Yes, Stephen Gottlieb from CME Associates. Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Kathy Stetzer with GEI Consultants. Yes, I do.
James Clarkin from Foresight Planning. Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Now we'll turn to our formal agenda tonight. Before I get started, there are two matters that are going to be adjourned tonight on this agenda. So if anyone is here for those particular items, then they're adjourned until April 14th and they require no further notice. The first one is 17 Plainfield Avenue, LLC. So that's adjourned to the 14th, April the 14th, not March the 14th, April the 14th. And QTS Investment Properties of Piscataway.
Madam Chair, it's actually the Minaret Investments. QTS is on for tonight. Minaret Investments. 19 PB20 is being adjourned.
Okay, that's the one that's being adjourned.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and that's April 14th, correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. All right, on with the rest of our agenda. The discussion for redevelopment plan for 857 Hose Lane West, also known as Block 11901, Block 22.15 on the Piscataway Township tax map.
Madam Chair, do you want to adopt the minutes first?
Oh, did I skip down to those? I'm sorry.
I think there's line. January.
Yeah, there's two items. Adoption of resolution to memorialize action taken on January 13th.
Ms. Saunders? Kenny, I make a motion that we see the minutes of January 13th, 2021.
Okay, we'll do that one then. Do I have a second?
A second.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Okay, adoption of the next resolution, please.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to adopt the minutes from the regular meeting of January 13th, 2021.
Didn't we just do that one?
I just did that.
Oh, okay.
There's reorganization and then there's regular minutes.
There's two sets of minutes and no resolutions.
Correct.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Just reading from the agenda, adoption of resolution. Yeah. Okay. Whichever. Go ahead, Carol, Ms. Saunders.
So I'm doing number six, right?
I thought we did.
Okay. I think the
Laura, would you tell us which one we did?
Okay, there's no number six, it says none. There are no resolutions.
There's no resolutions.
Oh, okay.
There are two sets of minutes. One is from the reorganization on January 13th.
I got the wrong set of minutes. Okay,
is for the regular meeting on January 13th.
Yeah, this is not the right agenda.
I would say Reverend Kenny moved the minutes for the regular meeting of January 13th, 2021. So we would need a motion to adopt the minutes of the reorganization meeting of January 13th, 2021.
Okay. Madam Chairman, I'd like to adopt the minutes from the reorganization meeting of January 13th, 2021.
Second, we have a second?
A second.
Mr. Foster.
Okay, that was by Mr. Foster. So roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. So is the discussion next?
Yes. The discussion for the amended redevelopment plan for 857 Hose Lane West would be next. And that's Foresight Planning, which is Mr. Clarkin.
Yes, good evening, everyone. I hope everyone is well. I don't believe I've seen you since 2020, so it's good to see you all in 2021. As mentioned, I prepared the amended redevelopment plan before you tonight. It is for 857 Hose Lane West, also known as Block 11901, Lot 22.15. I'm just going to go into a little bit of background since it's been a while since this redevelopment has come before the board. So back in the summer of 2017, the board heard the initial in need of redevelopment study that was done by CME Associates. And later that summer, the Township Council adopted a resolution to formally make it an in need of redevelopment. Subsequent to that, later in early January 2018, a redevelopment plan was also done by CME and was adopted by the township once again in early 2018. Both the study and the plan was a non-condemnation in need of redevelopment, and this amendment to the plan will not change that at all. So as you can see, since 2018, not much has happened on the property in terms of redevelopment. So with no redevelopment occurring, the Township of Piscataway is looking to amend the redevelopment plan in an effort to spur redevelopment activity. And in addition, as you probably recall, in December 2020, you did a master plan reexamination, which proposed certain rezonings, which you implemented. And one of those rezonings was for this area or for this lot that encompasses the redevelopment plan. So it's twofold, to spur economic or redevelopment activity and also to be consistent with that rezoning. So now that we've gotten through the background, just to kind of give you a little locational context, the property is located in the southern part of the township. It's at the corner of River Road and Hose Lane West. If you were going east on River Road, Johnson's Park would be on your right. Rutgers Golf Course would be on your left. If you went further down River Road, you would hit Rutgers Stadium, St. George Church, and further west of this is the Colgate-Palmolive facility. The size of the lot is 8.7 acres. And it is mostly wooded, but except for a couple of structures, one being a rather old home that could be argued to be almost a mansion by its time when it was built in the 1740s, along with, I believe, two other structures, a garage or a shed in the rear and another barn-like structure further in the rear. So this is effectively known as the Miller House. And back in 2003, Rutgers University actually purchased it with, I believe, the intent to make it the residence for the president of the university. But I believe that plan never went through and it's really stood vacant since then. So it's really been vacant for a long time and nothing has happened to it. So as I said, the intent of this amendment to the redevelopment plan is to spur redevelopment activity where none has really happened since the first effort 3 years ago and to be consistent with your new master plan re-exam. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I just realized I did not share the plan. That might be helpful. Here we go. Okay. Just so at least you can follow along with me. So yeah, I just gave a plan overview and I went through the existing conditions. So I'm looking at the middle of page 4. So when the first redevelopment plan was done, the underlying zoning was the RR1, which was your rural residential zone. Really what it allows is mostly single family homes and farm uses, as well as some other rural conditional uses. So I've amended this section to reflect the R17.5 zone, which is really just single family detached dwellings, your typical accessory permitted uses and conditional permitted uses. I will highlight this right here, customary farm accessory uses. So that's currently permitted under the R17.5 zone. However, as I will point out shortly, we have moved that to be prohibited for the redevelopment plan as we don't feel it really fits for that parcel, especially on the such a busy corner of River Road and Hose Lane West. So since the last redevelopment plan, the plan vision is the same. It's to have single family residential homes in the area, which is consistent with the neighborhood around it, as well as recreational facilities like the golf course and Johnson's Park. We have not altered the plan goals and objectives, which is really to create the land use requirements, to change the parcel from vacant and underutilized to something more fitting of the neighborhood, as well as move smart growth principles, and fit with your master plan. So now that I've covered that, I will move towards the land use bulk standard. So this is really where the main changes are. So as I mentioned, the zoning change, so let me back up. So yes, the zoning change was implemented by the master plan re-exam, and this redevelopment plan is trying to match the zone standards of R17.5 with a few exceptions. So as I mentioned, these are the same for your principal permitted uses. You have your single family detached, government parks and playgrounds. The main difference is, as I mentioned, is we made the customary farm accessory uses such as hay storage or chicken runs prohibited uses. Under 5, you'll see some required standards for development that are really landscaping in nature. Most of these were in the original redevelopment plan. It's really just saying, you have to do certain fences, submit a landscaping plan, try and preserve some trees, as it is a rather large lot. Add some deciduous, evergreens, shrubs, and even street trees. And one important item is we don't want any homes fronting on River Road or Hose Lane West. So the idea is to create an internal circular internal circular access drive where the homes would face that new roadway. And once again, the area, yard, and bulk requirements change slightly to match those of the R17.5. I took a look at the old redevelopment plan and the changes are actually not that substantial. For example, in the old plan, the minimum lot area was 17,000 square feet versus 17,500. The minimum front yard setback was 50, now it's 40. So it's minor tweaks just to be consistent with the R17.5 and your master plan re-exam. Oh, and one other change from this section. In the old plan, we had a density limit within the plan. We decided to remove that because, as I'll try and point it out to you on the map, there is a water course on the eastern part of the property. It actually flows into another lot and I believe goes underneath River Road. So that will have an effect on the number of homes that can be built. And rather than putting a minimum or a maximum, we realized that that's not really necessary because there's only so many homes that you could fit onto the space with minimum lot sizes of 17,500 square feet. So that was an effort to be, to spur redevelopment activity. So those are really the main changes. They're not really that substantial. You're still sticking with residential uses. We're just trying to be more consistent. I'm just gonna touch on a couple of items here. I'm gonna jump to page 10. You'll see parking and loading space requirements. As this is residential, we're looking for a minimum of 2 enclosed spaces per unit. So 2 car garage, but no more than 3. So a maximum of 3 enclosed spaces per unit. The minimum widths for a residential roadway with on-street parking are consistent with the RSIS. We just have only made a small change. We said to include a bike lane that connects with the existing bike lane that's on Hose Lane West right now. And yes, so I just want to point out page 11, environmental assessment. It was conducted way back when we did the initial study in 2017. Well, not we, CME Associates, but there are known environmental constraints on the property at this time. We just know about the water course on the property, and it has been identified and determined by a letter of interpretation from the DEP. So I want to go over your master plan. Well, not go over your master plan. See how it's consistent with your master plan re-examination report. Since it's changed a little bit. So really your master plan re-examination report actually continues the assumption from the 2005 master plan that the importance of redevelopment in the township will still be very important for older developed sections of the Piscataway. So I've plucked 2 excerpts from your re-examination report that I think are applicable to this amendment for the redevelopment plan. So the first is, as vacant developable land diminishes in the township, public and private redevelopment, rehab, and adaptive reuse efforts will continue to increase, particularly within older sections of the township and on older developed land parcels and buildings. The second one is due to the economic downturn that occurred in 2008, urban and older suburban municipalities like Piscataway Township have refocused their efforts for growth and economic opportunity through redevelopment for areas or buildings that were abandoned, substandard, unsafe, vacant, underutilized, or were not likely to be developed without incentive. And given Piscataway Township's excellent local access for regional roads and just its general location, we believe, as many of the redevelopment plans that I presented before this board, we believe that these have been largely successful, and we think that this will be no different. So that is how this amendment to the redevelopment plan is consistent with your new master plan reexamination. Still consistent with the state plan as always, as we're planning area 1. I think that's really it. So, oh, right. I just wanted to point out the water course on the map. I'm gonna have to zoom in a little bit. So Rucker's Golf Course up here, Colgate Palm Olive down here. This is the lot in question. You can see the Miller House right here, and you can see some of the other structures in the rear. So I believe the water course runs along, I thought you might be able to see it in the tree line better, but I believe it runs along here and comes into this property. So that will have an effect on building homes in this area. And with that, I can take any questions. And just to quickly, you know, summarize, this amendment is to be more consistent with your new master plan re-exam in terms of the rezoning on the lot, and also to hopefully spur someone to redevelop here for what you were hoping to do in the first place, which was single family residential. So yes, with that, I can take any questions.
Okay, are there any questions from the board?
Yes, Madam Chair, it is Councilwoman Cahill. I would like to just ask of Mr. Clarkin, just what is the reason for the orientation? And I am not disputing why. It was just a curiosity for my, and I have another question after that. Is that to keep it, is that going to be an address on Hose Lane, or will it have a different address?
I believe it'll have a different address because it'll probably be a new roadway with a new name. And I think that's the reason for the orientation, is to avoid driveways going on to Hose Lane West or River Road.
Oh yeah, there's not enough frontage, I think, on either side.
Yeah, exactly. That plus, you don't want you'd rather avoid cars trying to turn to their driveway on River Road.
Obviously. Oh yeah. I live on River Road. I get it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you already have to deal with that.
I do. And then I guess, what was my other question? Okay, no, the sidewalks to trails. Oh, the part of the R17 is I believe you mentioned it's government property, but that means governmental parks or playgrounds. So in the R17, you can either have single family detached dwellings or a governmental park or playground.
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. We certainly, you know, don't tell people who buy land exactly what they do as long as they abide by this, but I think it is the intent that this is for single family, I would hope. But in any case, it does fall under that zoning.
Yeah, I think it was an effort to be consistent. If you want to, you could ask for it to be removed.
Not necessary. I just, you know, we want to be very cognizant of the, the residents, the people who live on Hose Lane West over there. So,
right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I think those were my two main questions about this property, because I have some other questions, but I don't think you can answer them. They're not in your purview. And that has more to do with what happens to the old house.
Ah, okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. No problem.
I have a question. So how many single, if this goes to a single family housing, how many houses would be built on this parcel?
So as I mentioned, the old plan had a max of 14, and mm-hmm. because of the water course, I think it'll be under that. I don't think I've actually seen any concept plans, but I would guess 12. But yeah, I'm not positive. I haven't done the math to divide 8.7 by 17,500.
Well, I just wanted to get a general idea.
Think it would be in the neighborhood of 12 if I had to take a guess.
And access then would come from West Hose Lane West.
Yeah, an access drive.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Any other questions from any other members of the board?
Just Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm.
Just for clarification, if without the environmental areas, you would have, there is sufficient lot area, 8.7 acres for 21 single family homes with just based on the lot area and the allowable density. That would never happen though, because you have the layout and you have the property layout, and then you have the wetland areas and the stream right. on there.
Right.
So Jim is, sure Jim is pretty close to it being between 12 and 14 lots.
Okay, but I wouldn't think it would, we'd want it to be too dense, so that sounds about right. Okay, any other members of the board have any questions before we open it up to the public? Okay, Ms. Buckley, would you check with the public to see if there's anyone wants to Mark, have any
questions? Can you unshare your screen so I could see the public, please?
Yes, thank you. Sorry about that. It's okay.
Makes it so much easier. Yes, we have Brian is raising his hand.
We do, Brian.
Hi,
there you go.
Hi, Brian. Can you do you swear that the testimony about to give with the truth and nothing but the truth? Can you please state your name for the record, please? Thank you.
I am not aware of any traffic study done either. Typically, if this amendment is approved, they would still have to come before the board for site plan. So usually at that time, they would do a traffic study. For the number of homes that Stephen Gottlieb and myself just referenced, I don't believe that would be significant. But I'm also not a traffic engineer, so I can't speak to that. But So if the board approves this tonight, it would go before council to be approved by resolution. And then a redeveloper would have to come before this board again for site plan. So, and that would have to be noticed and they would have to address traffic concerns at that point. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Ms. Buckley, are there any other members of the board, of the public?
No, Chairman. Chairperson, sorry.
Okay, thank you. Close to the public. Do we have any last minute questions? Are we ready for to vote on this motion, amended redevelopment plan? Okay, I'm ready for a motion then.
Madam Chair, so moved, Councilwoman Cahill.
Thank you. Can I get a second, please?
I'll second that, Dawn Corcoran.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Mr.
Great,
Clark.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good night, Jim.
Yep, you too. Take care.
Our next item is number 820 PB12, Viamere LLC. This preliminary and final site plan. Is Mr. Bevere here?
I am. Hello.
Oh, good. Nice to meet you.
You as well.
Okay. You may proceed.
Thank you. My name is Dan Bevere. I'm the attorney for VMR LLC, application number 20PB12, 211 River Road, Piscataway, New Jersey. It is a light industrial five zone. Essentially, the reason we're here.
I'm still on River Road, I see. Okay.
So we were granted site plan approval back in November of 2007. For an office building and a bank with a drive-in at 211 River Road. We received our approval in November of 2007 to construct a two-story, 7,475 square foot office building and a connected one-story, 2,125 square foot bank with a drive-through and a teller service for a total of 10,000 square feet of building proposed. Several variances were granted for all of them due to existing nonconformities with regard to the lot size, lot width, lot depth, minimum floor area, front and side setbacks, parking stall size, and sign setback. No new variances are being proposed as part of this application. The reason here is because in the previous application, we were going to connect to the county sewer main. As it turns out, we are unable to do that because it is a high, the exact term, I can tell you, I don't want to say the wrong term. It's a high pressure force main, so we cannot tap into it. So our solution is a force main and run it approximately 700 feet south of the existing municipal sewer line. So that's the only reason we're here, is because of the connection to the sewer line. We had a work session, I believe a couple weeks ago, where I think we worked through the issues. The I had prepared an amendment to the agreement with the county. I sent that to the board for review. I am hoping, and the county as well. I was, you know, we're waiting for approval and or comments back from both Piscataway and the county on that. But essentially, this is a simple application. The development has already been approved with the variances granted. And it's just a question of the connect, rather than connecting to the county sewer line, we're going to be putting in a new line and running it to the municipal sewer. So fairly simple and straightforward. I have my engineer, Mike Lanzafama, present. I do want to say that before we go forward, that we were requested by the fire marshal to increase the south driveway access from 15 feet to 20 feet wide. We have agreed to do that. And with that having been said, I will call Mr. Lanzafama as my, most likely my only witness.
Fine, we have him sworn in, and you may proceed. Ms. Saunders, can you just swear Mr. Lauer?
Yes, can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony about to give was the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do. My name is Michael Lanzafama. That's Lanzafama. I'm a licensed professional engineer, land surveyor and planner, a principal with the firm of Casey and Keller Incorporated, 258 Main Street, Millburn, New Jersey. I've testified before this board in numerous applications since the 1980s. I did most of the Kingsbridge development and Centennial Avenue developments years ago with Evans Partnership and Murray Construction. I was the engineer who testified on this application. As Dan pointed out, we're here only for the modification to providing sewer service for the building. There is no changes to the building in its size, shape, configuration. There was no change to the detention system that was originally proposed and approved. That was modified some time ago when we got our original approval. This does meet the current standards. It provides for reduction in storm water runoff, as well as treatment of the system. The main directly in front of our property, and if you let me share my screen, I could show you.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
I assume that the board accepts Mr. Lanzafama.
I do. Yes, I do.
Thank you.
I apologize.
Sorry. Thank you. No problem.
What you see before you is the grading and drainage plan, which is sheet number 7 in the plan set that was submitted as part of the application. And what we've added was a pump station located on the southern end of the property that would pick up the sewer connection from the building and allow us to pump it up from that location via a 2-inch diameter schedule 40 force main to a point approximately 790 feet south of us, to Ballas Lane, where it will connect into an existing sanitary manhole at that location. This design was reviewed by the Middlesex County Utility Authority, Middlesex County Planning Board, as well as Mr. Herrera here in Piscataway. This connection is a single connection for a building that generates less than 8,000 gallons per day. So it does not require DEP approval to construct and operate. The maintenance of the system will be retained and provided by the property owner. And I know that was one issue that Middlesex County had, I believe. And that's basically our application. Other than that, oh, and as Dan said, we did widen the driveway. You can see on this drawing, the driveway was 15 feet. And in response to the fire department's concerns, we widened it to 20 feet so to provide for easier access by the fire department. I have an email from the fire department indicating approval of such.
Okay.
Hey, Mike, could you just briefly address the planning comments in the CME report?
I don't have a CME report. I have the DNR report, but I don't have a CME report. There's no new, no variances that we are seeking as part of this application. It was all done back in 2007, and we haven't modified the plan.
So, and Mike, we're going to abide by the conditions and requirements of the previous application, correct? This is the only changes you stated?
Yeah, as indicated in Mr. Hinterstein's report, we have no problem complying with any of those comments.
And these are permitted uses in the light industrial district?
They are.
With regard to the county agreement, we had prepared one and we're waiting for comments from this board and from the county, but certainly we've agreed to undertake the maintenance of that line, correct?
That's correct.
Mr. Revere, just since you're on that, this is Tom Barlow, the board yes. attorney. A couple questions.
Sure.
What is the reason that Piscataway is a signatory to this agreement? Because in reviewing it seems like it's strictly between the county and the applicant.
The simple answer to that is that that's what the county required of us. That was the county's requirement.
Because it looks like 4A and 4B are the two that would that mention Piscataway, and there are no ordinances or resolutions that Piscataway needs to do to accomplish the construction. And 4B just talks about maintenance of adjacent sidewalks, which are the property owner's responsibility. So the township's not really involved with any of this.
I don't disagree with you, but that the county demanded this of us, unfortunately. And
Mr. Barlow, if I may, it's Dawn Corcoran. Just to elaborate, I mean, that was also the Director of Public Works, the Township Attorney, and the Township Administrator all agree that we do not have to be involved with that agreement and don't want to be involved in that agreement. So you may want to take that back to the county. And as you said, Mr. Barlow, there's absolutely no reason for us to have to be part of it.
I mean, Mr. Revere, did they give you, other than the county demanding it, did they give you an actual reason or basis?
Well, I mean,
if they did, I don't know.
Did they give us a reason why?
14 years ago.
But that would be the person who succeeded you on the property, wouldn't be the town.
That's why they wanted that. Because I mean, the problem the township has is we're kind of being dragged into an agreement by a third party, not you, I understand that, by a third party for no reason.
I
don't know.
Listen, like I said, I don't necessarily disagree with you. All I can tell you is that's what the county's demanding of us, and I don't know whether they will agree to sign an agreement without the township being a signatory on it. But I could tell you that by you signing that agreement, it's not obligating you to do anything. So it's not like you're becoming obligated by signing it. I believe it's just an acknowledgement that that's what the agreement is.
If I may, Madam Chair, this is Mayor Waller. For Mr. Barlow, any agreement that would come by, with the council would have to authorize me to execute it, and I don't necessarily have to sign it. So that's something that's going to have to be dealt with the county at hand with the applicant. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're finished with your application? Okay.
Our application is straightforward. So this
okay. Just... Okay, you made your presentation. Okay. Yes. Board, have any questions of this witness and this application? It's time to.
I'm sorry, Dawn Corcoran. Mm-hmm. Did you say that you agree with the report that was issued by DNR Engineering?
What I had said is that I believe we've already accomplished the items that were in the DNR memo at the last go around. We had gotten them to sign off on the plans initially. So many of these comments are basically throwbacks to the last approval. For example, we had already gone to the DEP, confirmed that the flood elevation was elevation 34. We did not need to get any type of DEP flood hazard permit. There were no wetlands present on the property. The design of the detention basin is compliant with current standards. The storm sewer system along our frontage was relatively new. It was new construction, but we have no problem in confirming and certifying that the existing system is in good order because it was recently constructed. And other than that, we have no issues. Number 9, for example, talks about inlet details. The details we have are precast and they are echo compliant grates that we are showing on the plan. So many of these comments were already addressed. And we have no problem in reviewing them again with DNR and reaffirming our approval.
Okay, thank you.
You can comply with all of the recommendations, and it may be as simple as we've already gave that to you.
Exactly.
Continue to comply. Okay.
Exactly, Mr. Barlow.
Okay, and again, you have no issues with Mr. Hinterstein's January 26, 2021 report?
None whatsoever, and we've complied with Fire Chief Gore's comments and provided him with that modification to the system. And we have no problem in Mr. Gasparri's comments as well.
Okay. And I guess we've covered everything. If there's no further questions by the board, we can open it up to the public for their comment.
Madam Chair, it's Councilwoman Kale. Just one quick question. With the approvals that you received back in 07, am I to presume now that the applicant is going to move to the construction of these sites in the very near future?
Yeah, that's pretty much what triggered this whole event. Is a question came up when we were considering applying for the building permit. At the last minute, we were told by Middlesex County Utility Authority we couldn't tap into that line. So then we began exploring options and came up with this solution. But it is our intention to move forward.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. If there are no more questions by the board, we'll open it up to the public, Ms. Buckley.
No one, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Close to the public. Is that, you have any other witnesses?
I do not.
Okay. Well, I'm open for a motion from the board as to what is your desire with reference to this application. Can I get a motion from the board, please?
Madam Chair, it's Councilwoman Cahill. I will make a motion that the board approves this application 20 PB 12, provided that the applicant, as stated, in fact, abides by all of the recommendations made by the township professionals, and also with the recommendations that Mr. Barlow put forward tonight.
Okay, so that's with the proviso that the board is not acceding to signing the proposed multi-party utility agreement, but that's something that the applicant will need to bring to the mayor and council and township attorney, correct?
If that's what the recommendation is from our attorney, then I would move that way.
Okay.
I need a second.
One quick, and I'll second.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night now.
Have a good night.
Our next item, let's see, that's adjourned. Minaret was adjourned, right? Yeah.
Number 11, Madam Chair.
Now we have general public comments?
No, what number about? 11, QTS.
QTS? I tell you, I don't know what happened with this agenda. QTS, 20PB08/09V, QTS Investment Properties Piscataway LLC, preliminary and final site plan. Mr. Lawrence Kelly.
Good evening, Madam Chair. Nice to see you. Nice to see everyone.
Nice to see you. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I hope everybody's doing well. Start of the new year. Not shoveling too much snow. We think that we could be pretty brief this evening, Madam Chair. We've got a pretty straightforward application for a longstanding property owner in a township. What I'd like to do is sort of just tee up what we're doing here, what we're asking for, introduce you to our 2 to 3 witnesses that you'll hear from, and then we're glad to get started with some testimony explaining what we hope to build, what the deviations are, and how we can still achieve the goals and accomplish everything we want and meet the township recommendations as outlined in the reports that we've gotten so far, Madam Chair, if that's okay with you.
That's fine.
Wonderful, thank you. So QTS, which we'll refer to them as, owns the property at 101 Possum Town Road. It's a very large 38-acre site where QTS operates a data farm and offices, a data center, where they store a lot of, you know, important computer documents and clouds that UI and other users, such as in our case here, hospitals, healthcare providers, all store at QTS facilities offsite. And this is one of them in Piscataway, where QTS operates this very large, successful facility for a number of years. We're in the LI5 zone. We've got a few very large structures. And if and when there are power outages, we need to have backup power available to us by way of standby generators, of course. We've already got several on the property, but it requires more to keep us going in the event of a power outage. Now, you know, Madam Chair, you and the board know that these generators, they're all regulated by Title VII, the DEP standards, when it comes to acoustic standards, noise standards, when we're operating under emergency power. We can and will comply with all that, but we're still here for a site plan application for the board for what I'm going to call our generator yard, Madam Chair. This is certainly more sizable than we saw with folks coming into the zoning board for, you know, variances after Hurricane Sandy for little standby generators in the yard. These are pretty sizable because they have to power up a lot of equipment in the event of a power failure. So you've got Menlo engineering plans on file, and we'll take you through those sheets this evening where we're proposing a generator yard. We have it in the back of the property, which is ideal, but we have a pinch point with our odd property line. So we're about 32 feet off the property line, abutting another multi-tenant industrial user in the back. So we're shy a few feet, I think about 17 feet and change from the setback standard for accessory structures. That is the one and only variance we've got, our rear yard setback to an abutting industrial user for our generator yard and our generator equipment. we already actually have a lot of equipment in this yard, power equipment, but this is sort of at that pinch point where we can't do anything about it. Bill Lane from Menlo Engineering will take you through that shortly. I know you folks know Bill from a lot of testimony here. He'll confirm that we're going to conform to the acoustic standards. He'll tell you about the fueling sources. He'll confirm my proffer that we're not changing anything else about this site. And then we can go through the board reports. And there are a few issues in there that are really easy gives and a few others that we'd like to at least discuss a little bit. Thereafter, Madam Chair, we've got two more witnesses for you. We've got Doug Burton from Gensler. Doug can take you through the more granular design, if you will, of the generator units, sort of give you an illustration of the cut sheets, the size, how tall they are, give you the actual acoustics and decibel levels, if you want to sort of get into the details of the generator boxes themselves, beyond just the site layout. And lastly, even though I said, you know, it's sort of a light, easy variance as we see it, it's a variance nonetheless, Madam Chair. So we've got a standard to meet for this board to approve it. And you're going to hear from our planner, Christine Caffone, as our third and final witness. We do have a few more folks on with us, as you probably see on this Brady Bunch screen here from QTS. So if there are any questions that go a little beyond what our folks can answer, but the board's got a question they'd like answered, we'd love to give you the answer. So we may have to jump to another member of our team. We can quickly swear them in, and if they're an expert, qualify them, and they can answer any pointed questions the board may have if it goes beyond Bill, Doug, and Christine at that point, Madam Chair.
Okay, fine. Who would you like to call first?
Wonderful, thank you. Bill Lane, our site engineer.
Mr. Lane, step forward and you'll be sworn in. Ms. Saunders.
I'm sorry, I was talking on mute. Hi, do you swear that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Can you please state your name for the record?
Sure, William Lane, L-A-N-E.
Thank you.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Bill, could you, I know you've testified before this board numerous occasions, but if you could briefly give the benefit of your credentials and experience so we can qualify you as a civil engineer this evening.
Yeah, I've been with Menlo Engineering for approximately 36 years. Been licensed engineer in the state of New Jersey for about 24. Worked on numerous projects throughout the state, probably testified in front of 80 some odd boards, many times in front of Piscataway, both zoning and planning.
He said qualified. You may proceed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Bill, you heard my sort of general proffer and explanation to the board as to what we're doing here this evening, and a very brief overview layout of the site, what's on it, and what we hope to do. But if you would, Bill, and I assume you're going to want to share the screen momentarily, could you take the board through the site, what's there today, what's been there, and the limited accessory improvements we're going to propose? And if anything is different from what we filed, Bill, just let us know when we see it on the screen so we can mark it as an exhibit if we have to.
All right. Yeah, this is the overall plan. That, as Larry mentioned, is 38-acre site. We have Possum Town Road to the west, Circle Drive North to the north, and then Route 287 to the south. The site, as it currently has a 353,000 square foot data facility on it. Their main entrance is off of Possum Town Road, which accesses to about approximately 155 spaces on site, which over the years have been more than adequate for the property itself. I've been out there several times since this building's been built in 2010. I don't think there's ever been more than 30, 40 cars in that parking lot. Beyond the parking lot, there's the loop road around the drive, around the building to provide access completely around the building. And as mentioned, what the applicant's looking to do is construct a generator yard. And in that generator yard is going to be seven new transformers, seven new generators, and seven new equipment containers to all facilitate the facility. This is basically phase two of the building. Phase one is completely done. With this generator yard, what it'll do is we'll have to push the loop road a little bit more towards the east just to get around to keep the loop road continuous going around the building. Additionally with that, what the applicant's looking to do is on the west side of the building is also install a new loading dock to help facilitate this end of the south end of the building. And that'll be on the west side of the building near the southwest corner of the building. With this change also, we're having to remove some trees. Right now our proposal is to have 35 new trees. We're looking to put seven deciduous trees in and around the loop road, and then about another 28 evergreens along the east side, just to the east of where we're putting our generator yard to help buffer to the neighbor. Internally, site plan wise, that's basically it.
Bill, if you could just show the board what I identified as sort of that pinch point where we're encroaching into the rear yard setback of the other industrial property with our generator yard, our equipment back there.
Yeah, it's just as you come around that southeast corner of the building, it starts to get a little bit tighter in here because that's where the site starts to narrow down as you go towards 27.
Okay. No issues with access as you modify that loop in the back?
No, we still can, have a tractor trailer, fire truck, anybody can access in and around the building.
Okay. So there were a few board reports, Bill. I just want to go through a few items and then we can defer to the board professionals if they want to go over any other specific ones. There was discussion at the tech meeting about proposing some additional landscaping. I think it might've been, ended up being memorialized in Henry's report. And I know you talked about 35 new plantings, but to the extent that we have to work with the township post-approval as far as any screening that may be required, bearing in mind 287's right on top of us here, we have no issues with installing additional green buffering, do we?
No, no problem.
Okay. Any other issues in the report, Bill, that you'd like to go over before we turn it back to the board for any of their questions of you?
No, I think everything in the reports are good with us.
Okay. Madam Chair, I'd make Mr. Lane available to any questions you or the board may have.
Sure. Does the board have any questions of Mr. Lane?
Madam Chair, if I may, Dawn Corcoran. Hi, Bill. I know you just addressed items 4 and 5 in Henry's report. Just going back to item number 1 with regards to the sidewalks along all frontages, is that something that the applicant can now comply with?
Yeah, we looked and prepared a plan. And with that, I mean, there are some constraints. I know I submitted a sidewalk impact report to the along with our last submission. And if you look along Circle Drive North, where the secondary access is, just south, just actually west of that and all the way up, there's a pretty big berm in here. So what we would have to do is we'd have to build a retaining wall in there to get the sidewalk in. So what we would look to do is get the sidewalk up along the curb, and we're still going to need a 3-4 foot high retaining wall. If we go further back, I mean, you're starting, you could be looking at an 8-10 foot high wall. So we're looking to accommodate a sidewalk up along the curb there. Then as we get down, we have a couple of crossings, one on Circle Drive North, where it's Hoboth Brook, and then also down at Possum Town Road. So we have guide rail in both of those areas, which is probably about, in total, 350 lineal feet. So that'll have to get relocated further back so we can, again, put the sidewalk up along the curb line. Okay. But we, with those, like I said, if we could get as close as we can to the curb line along Circle Drive North, relocate that guide rail, we can install it. And then the same thing along Possum Town Road, right where the crossing is with the guide rail, we're going to need to come up along the curb line. And then as we get further out, we could start meandering away from the road and the rest of this, the rest of the Possum Town Road frontage.
Okay. So there's no area where you feel you cannot provide the sidewalk at this time?
Yeah. Like I said, we're just looking to get it up. As long as we get it up along the curb there and those areas, we definitely can accommodate it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So, Madam Chair, before we go, to the next question, the sidewalk issue is one that we've been going back and forth with internally. And the issue we've had is it's about 1,200 linear feet of install for us here. And a lot of it is, I understand the grand vision of sidewalks, the connectivity. Here, it's kind of not really going many places for a pedestrian. So when we looked at the linear run of it, and the cost, especially when we have to start creating retention wall support for it, it became pretty onerous for the applicant to do. But much to the credit of the applicant, they had Menlo Engineering prepare a plan. They're showing the sidewalk along the entire frontages. I still am of the thought that there could be perhaps some flexibility here if the board thought there would be any. I know the boards and townships policy and preference for sidewalk development when applications come in. Here, I'm not sure what the utility of it is, but nonetheless, the applicant is prepared to offer it if the board thinks that the 1,200 feet, give or take, is warranted as part of the application.
Ms. Corcoran will talk to you about that with you and Mr. Hinterstein.
And actually, Larry, it's about 1,900 linear feet.
I'm sorry. That's why I'm not an engineering lawyer. I'm really bad at math.
So, it's always been the town. It's always been the township's opinion and the policy of this board that the sidewalks be installed. You have to start somewhere. It has to continue. I'm sure the mayor would concur. In this case, if it can be installed, then we're going to have the applicant install.
Okay, understood. And that's why we said the plan. It's a lot of run. That's why I thought it's at least worth a discussion point.
Sure. Any other questions from the board? All right, we'll open it up to the public. Any questions of this witness?
Yes, Brian.
Hi, yeah. Brian Rack, 1247 Brookside Road. Do you need to swear me in again?
Sure.
Go ahead, Brian.
You've been previously sworn in.
During this meeting, yeah. Okay. I just had a question. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just said
you're still under oath. He's reminding you that you're still under oath.
Okay, that's fine. Are these new generators for new tenants or are they for existing tenants?
They're serving our existing facility.
Okay, so the existing generators that are there are not sufficient, so you're adding more.
Correct.
Yes, okay. Sir. Yeah, that was my only question. Thanks.
Thank you. Sure. Any other questions from the public? Hearing no response, it's closed to the public for this witness. Mr. Cowie, you may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And you know, because we didn't touch on it with Mr. Lane, and it only came in the record through my proffer so far, not testimony, what I'd like to do is briefly go to Doug Burton, our design professional with Gensler, who's been involved with the design of these units, sizing them. And once we qualify Doug, swear him in, I want to just have him take the board through the conforming acoustics of it and then open up to any questions the board may have about the actual generator units themselves, if there are any.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Mr. Burton, you're going to be sworn in.
Can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony about to give will be truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please state your name for the record, please.
Douglas Burton.
Thank you.
Hey, Doug, can you briefly give the board the benefit of your background and credentials, please?
Sure. I'm a licensed architect with Gensler. I'm a New Jersey resident. I live in West Orange, but I work out of our New York office at that 1700 Broadway in New York. I've worked on Gensler for 15 years. I worked on, we did a project for QTS in 2018 at the same site, and I was the project manager on that, and I'm the project manager again on this project. That's before you tonight.
Thank you, Doug.
Okay, you're qualified, you may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So Doug, you've heard Bill's testimony, and I know your office has been involved with drafting many of the plans that are involved in this project related to the generator install. But what I'd like you to do is sort of give the board a very brief overview, and we can dig in as the board may have specific questions as to the units. I want the board to sort of get an understanding of an illustration of just the size of the units and then confirm that there are acoustic level limitations established by the Title VII NGDEP regulations, and we can and will conform with them. We can't ask for a deviation from the board, and we conform with them when we cycle for maintenance. And if you could just advise the board when we think that will be with these units. I want them to sort of get an understanding as to how this will operate if installed.
Yeah, sure. So to be brief, there's 7 units we're looking to install. The size of the box is around 12 foot by 35 foot. 6 are required to handle the critical load if there was an emergency event. The 7th is a redundant unit, which is required. They're 2,250 kilowatts. They each have a 9,000 gallon belly tank to handle the fuel. They would be tested once a month, and that testing would be for a couple of hours at a time.
And we could agree to do that testing and maintenance whenever, if the board did have a preference. Oftentimes, you know, weekday, daytime hours are preferred. You don't want to do anything overnight. We could control and set when that would be, right?
Yeah, I would defer to QTS. They would run those tests, but that's typical that, you know, they could defer. Exactly. And then, yeah.
the fueling source?
It's their belly tank. So there's a tank that's in, it sits under the generator, and then it's fueled by a truck. A truck comes and just makes sure that they're always full of fuel. Diesel. And that tank has, it's diesel fuel, yeah. And then from an acoustical perspective, the idea is to get the rating required by code through the generator enclosure. But as you said, Larry, you know, we're going to comply with that portion of the code. So if we needed to, these generators sit, there's a metal grating that sort of encircles them that provides access to them. So we have the ability within that system to sort of also provide acoustical panels if required. But at the moment, the present plan is to just satisfy the requirement through the enclosure that comes with the generator itself.
Thank you, Doug. Madam Chair, you know, very limited testimony on the generators themselves. It's a permitted accessory improvement. They've got some regulations we need to comply. So any questions your colleagues may have of Mr. Burton, we'd make him available at this time.
We'll open it to the board. Or any questions of Mr. Burton? No questions?
Madam Chair?
Oh, okay.
Madam Chair, may I ask a question?
Yes, Gottlieb, absolutely. Go right ahead, Mr. Gottlieb.
How often, you said that you test the generators once a month. Is the testing of each generator staggered, or are they all done at once?
I would defer to QTS on that, because they're the ones who would be responsible for providing those tests, for performing those tests, I should say.
Maybe they'll be able to answer another question as well. When the generators are in use in terms of the power outage, do all the generators have to be operating at once, or again, depending on what is under operation in the facility, can they get by with one or two of the generators?
So we do have Ryan Hunter from QTS on the phone. Ryan, if you'd like to answer that, I guess you could be sworn in by the board, or else I can take a stand.
Ms. Saunders. Yes. Mr. Ryan's going to test. Mr. Hunter's going to testify. Could you swear him in?
Can you please raise your right hand?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give you the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
Ryan Hunter.
Thank you.
See,
Ryan, I told you if you had to testify tonight, you were going to be on camera, so you combed your hair and you got ready.
I'm in the parking lot waiting for my daughter to get out of cheer, so I apologize for the background.
Thanks for your help, Ryan. This should be relatively quick. So, Ryan, briefly, your position with QTS, if you could advise the board, please.
Yes, I'm the VP of Facilities for QTS across the entire U.S., but I do work out of and have an office in the Piscataway Data Center as well.
And you're, to say the least, you're fully familiar with this project that we've got here tonight presenting to the board.
Yes, sir. Very invested in this project.
So you heard Mr. Gottlieb's two questions that are probably targeted and best answered by you, whether or not we can stagger the generators when they're cycling for maintenance on their monthly maintenance cycle. And during an outage, do we anticipate requiring every generator to be on full load to satisfy our needs to keep power going when we have an outage?
Absolutely. So I'll take the first question about staggering first. And the answer is yes. We'll test the generators one at a time, so we don't cycle all of them at once. We actually do an inspection of the generator. We carefully monitor the operation of it during the testing. And for that reason, we do them one at a time so that we can pay attention to that particular engine while it's operating. And that's actually only about a 15-minute no-load run. So 15 minutes per generator, one at a time, and there will be seven. And then to address the second question, if I may, in the event of a power outage, it depends on which utility feed is lost. So the generators are fed from the on-site substation, which is already approved, permitted, and in use on the property. If we lost both utility feeders, yes, all seven generators would run in response to that outage. If it was a partial outage, then we may only run three or four of those generators.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Any other questions, Mr. Gottlieb?
No, that's all, Madam Chair.
Any other, the board members have any questions before I open it to the public? Okay, Ms. Buckley, could you check and see if there's any questions from the public, please?
No, ma'am.
Thank you. Mr. Kelly, there's a question.
And real quick, Mr. Kelly.
Mr. Barlow, was that you?
Yes, ma'am. The applicant doesn't have any issue complying with any of the other planning comments raised in Mr. Gottlieb's report.
No, we don't.
Like, for instance, E, I just think it's a discrepancy on numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, there's no issues complying with the report.
Okay. I guess. Thank you.
Thank you.
No problem.
Our final witness, Madam Chair, Christine Caffone, our project planner. She'll take you through the limited variance relief we seek and the justifications momentarily once we swear her in and qualify her.
Thank you, Ms. Burton.
Hi, Christine. Can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
I think you might be on mute, Christine.
Really? No. Can you hear me now?
Gotcha.
Oh, now we have. Now we do.
Okay. Usually people never have a problem hearing me, so. Clear?
Yeah. Very good. Do you swear that the testimony about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Please state your name for the record.
Christine Nazzaro, Nazzaro, Caffone, Coffone. Business address is 125 Half Mile Road, Suite 200, Red Bank, New Jersey.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Christine, would you mind giving the board the benefit of your background and experience in planning?
Certainly. I am a professional planner. I've been testifying for 25 years as an expert witness. I've been qualified here in Piscataway before both of your boards and about 420 other planning and zoning boards throughout the state of New Jersey. I'm also an affordable housing special master in about 30 different districts. I have a master's degree in city planning and my licenses are current and valid. I teach planning and zoning courses.
You're accepted, Ms. Caffone. You may.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Christine, you heard the testimony earlier of Bill, Doug, and Ryan. You're fully familiar with the application, the plans filed, the relief requested. Is that right?
That's correct.
So I posited to the board that we have pretty minor relief that we're seeking relief nonetheless. So if you would, Christine, would you take the board through the deviation that we're requesting as well as the statutory justification supporting that relief?
Yes, and as Mr. Kelly said, this shouldn't take very long from a planning point of view because it's a substantially compliant application. The use is permitted in the LI5 zone. The issue is that on our eastern property line, where we're proposing to put this generator yard, the ordinance requires a 50-foot setback and we're at approximately 32.8. So for that, and as your planner correctly points out in his February 5th, 2021 review letter, we have to justify the variance relief, and we can do that under the C criteria. So we can either demonstrate that there is an existing hardship on the property or in the absence of any hardship that certain purposes of the municipal land use law would be advanced. I would submit to the board that I believe this variance can be granted under both the C1 and C2 statutory criteria. You heard Mr. Cowley also testify, or he doesn't testify, but he stated that we have a somewhat irregular eastern property line and that our property line takes a little bit of a jog. And then Mr. Lane explained where the generators were going to be situated and the substantial plantings that we were proposing there. So that's why I'm informed that I believe from a planning point of view, it can qualify under the C1 criteria. And when you talk about hardship, the land use law is very specific. It's not, the language is not unique to Piscataway. It's not my clever planning language. It's something unique about a piece of property. So certainly that would be that eastern boundary property line that jogs. Or, of course, the lawful structures pre-existing thereon. So in this particular case, you're presented with an existing lot that has a jog as well as lawful pre-existing structures. So I think that the board can certainly recognize that and take notice of that. And that's what makes me believe that the C1 criteria applies for the hardships. If you weren't going to apply the hardship, you could certainly apply the C2 criteria, where it's really just a better zoning alternative. And you find that one or more purposes of the land use law would be advanced. I think criteria G of the land use law would be advanced, which talks about providing sufficient space in appropriate locations. I think this is certainly an appropriate location for this use, for this generator, given the proximity of the adjoining commercial uses, specifically a small linear parking field that we're adjacent to, as well as the other commercial uses. And also, as Mr. County said, the presence of 287. So that's, I think, satisfies the positive criteria as your planner asked us to address. But he also points out that we have to address the negative criteria. And the negative criteria does not ask you to hold us or any other applicant to a standard that there be detriments, just the benefit of the grant of the variances outweigh any detriment, and we satisfy that there'll be no negative impacts on either the public good or the zone plan. So when you talk about the public good, there are four reasons that I think that we can consider that we will not have a substantial negative impact on the public good. The first is that we are providing substantial plantings. Mr. Kelly stated that we, and Mr. Lane also identified that we would be proposing plantings in that area, but also that we'd be willing to work with your board professionals if you felt that we needed more or different plantings than what we were proposing. In addition to that, we stated that we will comply with the noise requirements, the noise ordinance in town. So we will certainly comply with that. We're willing to provide the sidewalk despite the fact that this is not a particularly walkable area or an aspect of the application that is generative of pedestrian foot traffic. We understand that that's something that the township certainly, I've done a lot of applications in Piscataway, so I certainly am not surprised to see that you want to have the sidewalks on. And the fact that, again, when you look at, we do have a 50-foot requirement and the ordinance requires that for accessory buildings and structures, and these are generators, they're not really structures, so I think that they have somewhat of a different massing and different impact than a four-walled enclosed building. So I think for all those reasons, the board can be comfortable that we're not going to have a substantial impact on the public good if you were to approve us having this generator field in this location. And as far as the impact on the zone plan, the stated purpose right in the zoning schedule for the LI5 zone is to establish zoning districts which reflect the existing pattern of industrial land use and provide for future development of similar types of industrial land uses within the same area. So having this generator farm here, or the generator field, really allows us to support that purpose and allow this use to continue and thrive quite the way the zoning ordinance recognized and had a stated purpose for it to develop. So I think we're certainly consistent with the stated purpose and intent of the zoning district. The last thing I would close by saying is that your planner in his planning comments also asked us to talk about the impact on the state plan. This is in a planning area one, which is a metropolitan planning area where the state is looking to channel, of course, the most growth in development. So having these generators here allow us to continue to develop the area in accordance with the vision and intensity that was established for the area. So statutorily, I think this is an easy one, a bit of a layup, but from a planning point of view, because I think we certainly substantiate our entire burden of proof and the board can grant this variance, in my opinion, with no substantial detriment to either the public good or your zone plan here in Piscataway.
Thank you, Christine.
You're welcome.
Madam Chair, any questions you, your board members, or your staff might have?
Well, let me just open it to the board and say, does the board have any questions of this witness or any of the other witnesses that has been presented? I hear none. Ms. Buckley, would you open it to the public, please?
I do not see anyone, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Close okay, to the public.
You're welcome, thank you.
Mm-hmm. We've heard the entirety of this application, Mr. Kelly.
You have, Madam Chair. Relatively simple and straightforward, but we wanted to make sure we had all of our team here ready to present and explain to the board this very important development the applicant needs. It's essential for them. The data center is essential in this day and age. And, you know, I think we'll probably be seeing more of the planning board down the road as needs expand for a facility like this and perhaps even this facility itself. So right now, pretty limited proposal, but it's quite meaningful and important to the applicant. And we do appreciate your time this evening. We appreciate getting on the agenda. And as always, to your staff, getting us through completeness and to you this evening, it's always very much appreciated.
Thank you. If there's any other questions from the board, if there's not any other questions or concerns from the board, I'll take a motion as to whether this application is acceptable.
I make a move to accept this offer.
With any additions or corrections, I don't think there are any.
Just subject
Mr. Foster made the motion. Do I have a second?
Carol Saunders, second.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Thank you. Yes. Mr. Kelly? Thank you so much.
Nice seeing everyone. Have a nice evening.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion to pay the bills.
Do I have a second from someone to pay the bills?
Second, Councilwoman Cahill.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Councilwoman Cahill?
Abby?
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Me? Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion to adjourn because the Rutgers second half is coming on.
Okay.
Well, winning?
Everyone stay safe. Adjourn. This meeting's adjourned.
Okay.
Everybody stay safe.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
All right.